Shares of PG&E plummet as new wildfires rage in California. General Motors workers approve a new contract ending a 40-day walkout. And Indonesian investigators fault Boeing and U.S. safety oversight in the fatal crash of a 737 MAX plane last year.
It's going to increase pressure on Boeing and the FAA to address the findings, address what this report in particular says were the shortcomings of the design of this flight control system and how it was certified.
It's Friday, October 25th. This is the PM edition of What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The United Auto Workers Union has approved a new labor deal with General Motors, ending a 40-day strike, the automaker's longest nationwide walkout in nearly half a century. The UAW made the announcement Friday night, with GM workers voting 57% to approve the new four-year agreement. The deal includes better wages, signing bonuses, and a commitment from GM to invest $7.7 billion in its U.S. manufacturing operations. A GM spokesman says workers will return to work immediately, and production will resume at 30 factories that had been idled during the strike. California utility PG&E disclosed that one of its high-voltage transmission lines malfunctioned shortly before the Kincaid fire ignited in Sonoma County on Wednesday night. Our markets reporter Akane Otani says investor fears that PG&E could be on the hook for additional liabilities sent the company's stocks tumbling.
Analysts have yet to determine what exactly caused the wildfires that we're seeing in Northern California, but there is some suspicion that PG&E might have been involved via one of its transmission lines. And we're seeing that spill out into its bond prices and share prices, which are both falling rapidly Friday. There is some worry that because PG&E is already liable for some of the previous wildfires that we've seen in the state of California, that if it turns out it has involvement in the Kincaid wildfires, that could further reduce the returns that investors are going to get from any bankruptcy proceedings that follow.
PG&E shares closed down more than 30% on Friday. The Kincaid fire, which had burned more than 21,900 acres by this morning, was expected to continue growing as it's being fueled by strong winds. Fans of vaping have some health experts worried users may return to old habits, like smoking traditional cigarettes. Our Brianna Abbott explains.
Tobacco sales have been in decline for years, like sort of the steep, steady decline. And in recent weeks, the data that we have shows that the decline is sort of slowing down. And public health experts and doctors have also anecdotally said that some of their patients are switching back.
A surge in teen vaping and a rise in vaping-related illnesses have led to a crackdown on e-cigarettes. Health officials are advising users not to vape THC, the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana, and they're encouraging them to avoid vaping altogether while investigations continue. Mourners gathered in Baltimore on Friday to honor the life of Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings, a longtime advocate for civil rights and leader in the Democratic caucus. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was among those who spoke at the service.
His integrity and character, his can-do spirit, made him a guiding light in the Congress. He pushed back against the abuse of power. He was unwavering in his defense of our democracy. He had little tolerance for those who put party ahead of country or partisanship above truth.
Cummings died last week at the age of 68 following complications from long-standing health issues. Indonesian investigators faulted Boeing and U.S. federal regulators in their final accident report on the fatal crash of a Lion Air 737 MAX jet nearly a year ago. Investigators blamed Boeing's design and inadequate U.S. safety oversight and said deficiencies in pilot training and communication contributed to the crash, which killed all 189 people aboard. Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Tangle. Andrew, this final accident report confirms much of what we've been reporting, as well as information that has come out since this crash. Can you run through the official findings for us?
Sure. The report highlights essentially that the assumptions that went into the design of MCAS, this flight control system implicated in the Lion Air crash, were faulty. They assumed that pilots would respond quickly and appropriately to an emergency caused by a misfire of the MCAS system. There were incorrect assumptions about how the crews would respond to multiple alarms that are accompanied with this type of system. And they also, the report faulted Boeing's design of MCAS to rely on a single sensor, saying it made the system vulnerable to erroneous data from a sensor if it didn't compare it to a second sensor on the airplane. The investigators also faulted a string of pilot missteps, maintenance lapses at the airline, all of these things combined to create this accident that wound up killing 189 people.
So, Andrew, we've been reporting extensively on Boeing and the investigation as the MAX jets remain grounded. What kind of new pressure does this put on Boeing and the Federal Aviation Administration now that Indonesian officials have released an official report?
It's been a year coming, and it comes right after two other official government reports, one by the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board and another panel of international aviation regulators that found fault with Boeing and the FAA's oversight of the plane manufacturer. It's going to increase pressure on Boeing and the FAA to address the findings, address what this report in particular says were the shortcomings of the design of this flight control system and how it was certified. Now, Dennis Muilenburg, the CEO of Boeing, is going to be testifying before Congress next week. There are two panels in the middle of the week, one on the first anniversary of the Lion Air crash. So he's going to be questioned by senators and members of Congress about what happened here, what went wrong, and what the company is doing about it.
And Andrew, how do the findings from Indonesian officials relate to what's been uncovered regarding the similar crash of another MAX jet in Ethiopia 5 months after the Indonesia crash?
We're still waiting on the final report from the Ethiopian crash, but so far, investigators and regulators have cited the same flight control system, MCAS, for playing an important role in the accident and have highlighted all of the different alarms in the cockpit that were triggered by the system's misfiring and the crew's inability to respond appropriately. So that report is expected to share some similarities with the Lion Air report, but that should come in future weeks and months. Unclear when that's coming at this point.
We also heard from Boeing this week when the company reported earnings that it expects the MAX jets to be back in the air by the end of the year. Tell us what comes next here.
Right now, the ball is in the FAA's court to some degree. They are going to be scheduling certification flight tests and ultimately kicking the tires on the software package that and training package that Boeing has submitted for their approval. The regulators will control when the 737 MAX returns to the skies in the U.S. and around the world. And it's unclear when precisely that will happen. The ungrounding order in the U.S. is expected to come as soon as this year, sometime perhaps in November, December. It's still unknown. Airlines then will have to train their crews, get the planes ready to fly again, and then add them back to the schedules. And right now, the three big U.S. operators of the MAX, American, United, and Southwest Airlines, have taken the MAX out of their schedules through early next year, January and February, depending on the airline. So passengers aren't likely to be on a MAX until early next year at this point.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Andrew Tangle from our Chicago bureau joining us via Skype. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And And finally, the Halloween season got our Numbers columnist Joe Craven McGinty thinking about creepy creatures lurking inside our homes. Researchers found the average home harbors 100 species of spiders, flies, and other bugs. But you don't need to be afraid of most of them.
Some of the most common were cellar spiders, stink bugs, and camel crickets. They may look intimidating, but most of the bugs are harmless. Even if a cellar spider wanted to bite you, its teeth are too small to pierce your skin. Most of these bugs live with us unnoticed, and they may even be beneficial, quietly populating an ecosystem that the scientists think may strengthen our immune system and improve our resistance to allergens. The bugs get inside in a variety of ways. They may creep in through your windows, they could fly in through open doors, or they could come in with your groceries. Some, of course, will have been born inside.
And if you're looking for any of those critters, experts say you're likely to find the greatest diversity in your basement. That's what's news for this Friday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.